Imagine for a second that you're rumored to be cold, arrogant, boring, selfish, useless, and a control freak. Imagine being told you're a burden by your own family. But on the surface, all you want to do is prove yourself useful to others, and for that, you're willing to be used to do the bidding for those that will validate you. But deep down, you're compassionate, you stand on the side of even-handedness, and aggressively so. You also know that you struggle with being useful because you haven't been living truthfully. Until you decide to live truthfully by stepping into the you that is aligned with the principles you once hid from the world. You've just stepped into the character of Makoto Nijima of Persona 5. Yo, Candy Cup Lover Muffin, what's up? Welcome back to the Painful Podcast. I am the Painful, and this space is for you. Welcome. Welcome back to the bonfire, guys. Welcome to the Grounds of Fertility here, where we are teachable and we apply the things that we learn in our lives and we share those life lessons as gifts. We also have elders. Thus, we are not wandering lone wolves in these streets without any guidance. We apply the wisdom and guidance of the elders for a smooth and prosperous life, for that is the only life the elders want for us to have. And if they do not, then they are not elders. If you do not know who I am a artist, business owner of J. Green Multimedia, DBA J. Green Art. There I am an art instructor for children and adults, the children's book illustrator of now 9 published children's books. I'm also the creator and producer of the children's art show, The Painted Fool's Paint House, there where I teach children how to paint. But we have a unique ability in which we shake our painting, our canvas, and we bring that painting to life. And in that, the thing we bring to life is a tool that helps someone in some way. You can find it on the Goddess Talk Network, currently available on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, as well as Comcast Big South, and I have my older episodes on YouTube. I do other things as well under J. Green Multimedia, press photography, a bunch of other different things, and I have work and things I do outside of that. But if you were ever curious about what I do, my website is jgreenartofficial.com. Right now, however, I'm taking a bit of a hiatus with work. I am currently recovering from just a bit of a burnout and some other emotional things I'm just looking to recover from. So I'm just taking a break outside of that. I am possibly open to collaborating with organizations and larger groups of which we know our roles and define them clearly. But right now I am not open to individual people looking to further their careers right now. I'm just focusing on the larger groups. So that's that. But this space here, the Painful Podcast, I want you to be yourself each and every day more and more. You know, that's my thing. I am a strong advocate of those who were some form of a black sheep or feel like they are and can somewhat tends to carry that energy with them. And the bonfire or the banefire is a sacrificial space to lay that down, that black sheepness down, or even the victimhood associated with it that tends to come with that energy. It's just to lay it down and just to be free, be yourself, and mind your business, you know. But I genuinely love to see people win. I love to see people embrace their courage, as I have struggled with my own courage. And it's about the heart, man. So my website for this space is thepaintitful.com. I just showcase bits of things I've learned, little nuggets. And then, I like to wear clothing and things I like to showcase my different outfits and stuff. And the people I love, elders I admire and respect and love, and everything there is listed. I have a Discord server to discuss random other topics. I love to talk about, you know, pop culture, music, arts. I do interviews as well. I do a bunch of other things here. So yeah, you know, I call this is also like a toy box. There's a bunch of everything, and you can tell by the icon of my of the cover art of this podcast. There's a bit of everything from astrology conversations to planetary conversations and then to just random other things. So yeah. All right. Now, it's been such a long time since I have had time to play any video gaming. Well, I mean, I haven't had a long time. I've been streaming Resident Evil Village. If you follow me on Twitch, I'm under The Painted Fool TV. And you can find me there. Oh, I forgot my social media handles. It's The Painted Fool on Instagram, Facebook, The Painted Fool, YouTube, The Painted Fool, as well as whatever. My website gives all my social media handles. So yeah, I was Twitch streaming Resident Evil Village, beat that game, and then was like, yo, since I've closed up shop, I just had time for myself and my brain and everything else. And I said, you know, I got to get back on my Persona 5 and, you know, get close to Carl Jung. I love Carl Jung. Freud, you know, I just, I'm sorry. I respect pieces of Freud's information, but Freud was a freak, and I'm not into that. So it's Carl Jung for me. Just dope. Anyway, so yeah, Persona 5 is deeply Jungian, and there's a lot of different terms. There's tarot elements there, and there's the shadow and the, oh my gosh, it's amazing, the persona. And it's literally about these groups of people, including the protagonist, who discover this ability to go into the other parts of the world or go into the shadow world and steal people's hearts, more so the distorted desires or the dirty parts of themselves that usually in the real world, they are corrupt in some way. So they are either abusing someone or some form of power. So the group, which we call ourselves the Phantom Thieves, we're all thieves. We go into the shadow world through this app called the Metaverse Navigator. And in that, we save the day, essentially. So we reveal the masks of the truth of people, and with that we reveal our own masks. And each character has their own persona, and their personas are based upon actual or fictional, or some even real people in history. So my main character. Okay, so let me just give a little bit of a story before I even continue. So I recently switched from Persona 5 to Persona 5 Royale because someone I met told me to get that. So I ended up having to start the game over. And now I am starting over, and you get these unique abilities and things of that nature. And the storyline's a little different. So I'm glad I didn't get too far in the first one before purchasing the second one. So yeah, but ultimately, our persona, so my main character's, originally his name was Yuki Akita, if you remember from the previous episodes, if you go back. We can either use that name or the new names I named. The new name I called him, it's Ren Yakuru. And I just like the way it flowed. It just sounded better coming out of my mouth. I just like the way that it sounded. I mean, I still like Yuki Akita, but Ren Yakuru I just felt like since it was a new game, why not just go with something new? But yeah, so I may just call him the protagonist just so that's easy. So quick recap of all that happened. If you haven't, and if you don't want to go back to the beginning, you should, you really should. But if not, this is going to be a short and brief recap. So, okay, so let's start from the beginning. Really brief. Main character, the game opens up with me escaping the casino, me being guided by my friends in the casino. I ended up getting caught, wake up being interrogated, and then I bring the prosecutor or the person interrogating me down to what happened and to why. It's the story of my life. The story introduces as me being the protagonist, helping this lady who was being taken advantage of in the street, or was about to be, by this drunk dude. Who happened to, he must have been some form of a politician or business owner, because he was able to convince the police not to arrest him, but to arrest me and get me sent away to an elder by the name of Sujiro that I have to now live with and attend a whole new school and everything in a whole nother town. So I start off as this kind of, I'm viewed as an outlaw, when the truth of who I am was just someone who was defending someone else, but I being perceived as whomever by whoever. And that's pretty much my life just right now. Okay. So we're in Shujin Academy, in the school. And I first had my first shadow, world experience through this app, Metaverse Navigator. I go there and I meet Ryuji, the very first character. But right as we're about to basically get killed, my persona comes forth. And my persona is Arsène Lupin. Now, that name may have struck a nerve. You may have remembered based off the Netflix show. But Arsène Lupin is a fictional character written by a story written by Maurice LeBlanc. And it's about a gentleman thief. And it's a pretty good series of books. You should read them. But it's pretty dope. You get to read the books from the perspective of Arsène. And the way that he thieves people and he steals from people is pretty creative. It's really good, really good stories. That's the first persona. Ryuji's persona comes out as Captain Kidd, who is based upon a sea commander turned pirate by some weird circumstance and eventually was executed. We then meet Morgana, who's like a cat. And Morgana's persona is Zorro. If you're familiar with the story of Zorro, Don Diego is the true identity of Zorro, but Zorro is a swordsman who stood against political oppression, essentially another outlaw. We then meet the next character, An Takamaki, who was in Shujin Academy being taken advantage of by Kamoshida, the volleyball teacher, and her persona is Carmen. You know, the Carmen the femme fatale, based upon the opera, you know, the opera made after Carmen, that character. And then we meet one of my personal favorite characters thus far, who I identified with a little bit more, is Yusuke. Yusuke, this story just messed me up a little bit. So Yusuke is a character that, he's an artist. And his story it's interesting and sad. So he's an orphan. His mother died, you know, when he was young. And his mother, he was being taken under by Madarame, his art teacher, mentor, / kind of parental elder figure. And he worked under him as an artist. He was his tutor, mentor, all that good stuff. Until Madarame's art exhibits, like he was struggling with having new content and new material to paint. And he just fell into this period of greed. Madarame not only guarded and served as a guardian over Yusuke, but he served as a guardian over other students as well who happened to be equally as disadvantaged and had nothing for themselves. So he took them in and they all lived with him. And eventually, as a result of Madarame not having enough art material, he began plagiarizing from the students. But they all had this view of him. They could not see the abuse. They couldn't see any of that because they idealized him to a unrealistic. They idealized the hell out of him, including Yusuke. Now, here's the kicker with Yusuke, though. So remember, Yusuke's mother died. So there's this painting called Sayuri that what was it called? Sayuri? I think it was. That was said to have been painted by. Oh, gosh. That was said to have been painted, right? That was like this beautiful painting that was said to have been painted by Madarame, right? And that was the masterpiece of Madarame. And Yusuke and everyone was like so just enamored by Sayuri, who was this beautiful woman, and yada yada. So we learn down the line that Madarame knew Yusuke's mother. Yusuke's mother died, and Madarame watched her die and did nothing, was watching her die and was doing, did nothing, nothing to help her while that child was right there, did absolutely nothing to save the mother's life, right? Yusuke's mother was a painter, and Yusuke's mother painted that painting called Sayuri, and Madarame stole that painting, claimed it as his own, and Yusuke never even knew that Madarame knew that his mother died. Not only that, but as kind of at his hands. Fucked up story. But it was a testament to kind of this blind allegiance and this idolizing and idealizing thing. And it just kind of was just like, oh my gosh. So Yusuke's persona awakened and was called Goman. And Goman was another outlaw who basically robbed from the riches to help the poor. And that was Madarame's thing. So now we enter in where we are now. And that's where I can kind of continue. But I just wanted to do a brief recap thus far. Now we are at the next part of our journey. And again, please go back and listen to the Cup, the beginnings, and you'll kind of get just a gist of the storyline. But there's some things I forgot to include in the beginning as well, because I just, you know, I tend to stay away from certain topics. But I'm going to just get into more of it, because we've gotten to another palace and I defeated another palace. I'm not going to cut the audio in like I usually have done or have done, because I just don't need to. I think I'm just going to go back to streaming it now. Now, Persona 5 Royale can be streamed. Persona 5, the regular one, I couldn't stream it on YouTube or Twitch. So now that that game is out, the newer one is out, I can actually stream it and go along the storyline. But it's a lot of talking, a lot of this, a lot of that, and it's turn-based battling. So I don't know if many people will like it, but it's something worth just exploring. But I think the podcast is better, because you can kind of hear the storyline and all that good stuff. Okay, so let's get into our next character, Makoto Nijima. So, as you know, based upon the intro, we are at a space of a new character. Makoto Nijima is the president of student council at Shujin Academy. And she struggles with being useful, or struggling with feeling useless. And she has this internalized guilt for not speaking up against the abuse of Kamoshida as well, knowing what was going on. One of the students there tried to commit suicide after, you know, he did whatever he did to her. So all the people who knew what was going on would just have this guilt, this deep-seated guilt. Now, keep this. This is pretty interesting. She is the sister, Makoto is the sister of the prosecutor that is interrogating the protagonist outside of the timeline of what's going on. So if you remember, if you listen to the very beginning, the story of Persona starts off with my character being interrogated, and he leads us into the story during this. So that prosecutor is Makoto's sister. Makoto's character in the school, she presents as pretty unpopular and a little disliked, since she's the president of student council, and she carries this type of, you know, it just comes with a certain type of aura. And although people perceive that she's of importance, she's somewhat useless to many of them. She's seen as somewhat of a snob, and she's concerned with just receiving her letter of recommendation for college. So things do have to go a certain way with her, and that points to her some of her issues that she has with control. So the principal asks Makoto, right? This is how she gets introduced to us. So the principal asks Makoto to investigate if the Phantom Thieves, who's our name, because again, we're rising in popularity now, if the Phantom Thieves existed in the school. As there were some suspicions, you know, because there's been some rising suspicions throughout the story so far. Like, it's becoming more and more talked about on the internet, and it's being talked about on the news now. Like, who are these people stealing hearts and causing people to change their hearts and yada, yada, yada. Like, what is this? So the work that we're doing in the shadow world is beginning to come to the light. It's just slowly happening, slowly rising. So there's these suspicions going around, and, you know, there's these kind of people poking and prying around. Other characters, by the way. And this is how we learn more about her and how she begins to slowly become introduced to us. The theme of secrets and blackmail, they follow her as we're introduced to the new palace of Kaneshiro. And she is set on this mission to figure out if our characters are the Phantom Thieves. And eventually she finds out, basically. So she threatened to reveal, I'll get into how she finds out, but okay. So I'll get into that in a second. So she's suspicious. This guy, his name is Akechi. He's been the one that's just like, yo, there's someone around here that's doing these deeds. that's changing people's hearts, and I don't think it's right. Like, it's something about that is wrong, and he's the one that's suspicious of who he thinks the Phantom Thieves are. Anyway, so Akechi and Makoto meet, and he says that she's the good girl type of pushover. And he's referring to her just, that's just her, he thinks that, he kind of reads that from her character. And it speaks to her servitude and to the school principal for the letter of recommendation and her silence in reporting Kamoshida's abuse. She was being well aware of it. Now, in terms of uselessness, her sister called her a burden, you know, like imagine that. And the Phantom Thieves mentioned that when we eventually get through in the, when we meet each other and stuff and we become close and we see her persona, our characters, one of our characters tell her that she can't rely on herself, but she relies on others. So it doesn't make her feel any better because she already has this internal dialogue or this internal thing of feeling useless. So that's just, you know, this is her overall theme. Now, she has an eye for strategy, seeming to easily notice like how things change and how things operate. She tends to be able to see beneath the surface. It's second nature to her. She can see things. It's intuitive. She can see almost kind of like see through walls in a sense, like has this sense of schematics and just the inner workings of things. She has a great eye for problem solving. And she can see the hidden and unexplored potentials of things, and has this desire. She don't wants to stick her head in the books and people please, but she just wants to be who she really is on the inside. Now, Junya Kaneshiro is a con man, and how we're gonna put a bookmark in Makoto for a hot second. Let's leave a bookmark there. Let's move on to Junya Kaneshiro. Junya Kaneshiro is a con man secretly functioning as the kingpin of Shibuya, the city of Shibuya. Now, our mission in changing his heart, he's our main boss, our next boss, rather. Our mission was put on us through blackmail by Makoto, who overheard. Now, this is how she finds out that we're Phantom Thieves. Ryuji was running his fucking mouth talking about our work as the Phantom Thieves. I'm saying our because I'm the protagonist, okay? So we're talking to Ryuji and he's talking really loudly and Makoto just happens to catch us like, oh, so you're the Phantom Thieves. So she blackmails us and she's like, yo, so you need to figure this out for me. I need for you in the middle of this investigation going on, we're hearing about these students selling drugs or there's something going on, this weird activity that's happening during the day. The Shujin Academy students are selling and I need you guys to figure this out. And if you don't figure it out for me, then I'm going to reveal your identity as the Phantom Thieves. So we're on this mini mission in the real world to find out who that drug dealer is, who happened. It is Junya Kaneshiro. Eventually, we're led to him by rumors of high school students dealing drugs, and we do some digging, we track him down, we visit the Phantom World through entering keywords in the Navigator app. The keywords they tie into Kaneshiro's view of Shibuya as his personal bank. Now, I know Kaneshiro and Kamoshida, they sound the same, but Kamoshida is the first boss. He was a little freaky man. Kaneshiro is the gluttonous dude. Okay. So when we arrive to the Shadow World for the first time, when we arrive to Kaneshiro, you know what? Let me back up. I'm gonna back up. I'm not gonna get into the Shadow World yet. So we meet the real Kaneshiro. You know what? No. Let me just follow the storyline because I don't want to change and have y'all confused. So we actually go into the Shadow World by typing in the keywords. And when we get there, we see that there's these walking ATM machines, like there's people with ATM machines on their heads. And remember, the Shadow World is just a materialized or it's his reflective cognition. So it's what he thinks of, you know, we're inside of his heart, essentially, in his mind. And These walking ATM machines symbolize their use to him in his heart and mind. So they're nothing more than cash grabs. Shibuya is nothing more than just like his personal bank. Now, the palace is a bank high into the sky, but we can't access it yet. We're still in the Shadow City, but we can still see the actual palace, his palace. So because we don't know how to enter, we go back into the real world. And eventually, we meet the real Kaneshiro, who holds us responsible through blackmail. So not only were we being blackmailed by Makoto to find out who the drug dealer or the con man was, we end up going into this nightclub or this club full of drugs and all types of stuff, and we find the real Kaneshiro. And he takes a picture of us with all these drugs on the table, right? And he says, I need you to raise 3 million yen in 3 weeks, or y'all are going to be exposed for entering my hideout. And it was that club that was full of, you know, you can't have minors in a club with drugs and stuff. So he had this picture and with drugs and alcohol, and he makes them responsible for raising the money. So the mission begins for us to change his heart or get the money before we're blackmailed. So we start the mission. So, of course, we end up taking Makoto with us to explore the Phantom World, and she's kind of shocked. Like, this is the actual Shadow World. Now, the first time we went, Makoto wasn't with us, by the way. I'm sorry, I must include that. She didn't know that's where we went. But this time, we ended up bringing her with us, and we had a combo. She commits to joining us, and for some reason, though, when she came with us to the palace in Shibuya, the Dark Shibuya, the palace descends from the sky and rolls out a pathway for her, symbolizing so her connection. She was the bargaining piece, you know, in the real world, but also in the Shadow World. Okay, so now we discover her persona rather quickly in the game. Her persona is called Johanna, named after Pope Joan. Now, if you don't know who Pope Joan is, Pope Joan is a woman who disguised herself as a man to become Pope. She died during childbirth, either of natural causes or through murder after discovering who she was. So women were forbidden to be priests, so she may have been killed, who knows. But her tarot association is associated with the high priestess, the la papess, the popess, the high priestess. And of course, we not only is the overarching theme, of course, of Persona 5, we're going into another realm where we're accessing hidden information. But just in this particular bubble, in this mission, you think about Kaneshiro, he was, unlike the other couple of bosses, like Kamoshida in the very beginning, the second one, damn, who was the second boss? We had Kamoshida, we had Madarame was the third boss, and then we had, slipping my mind right now. Whatever. Was it? No, I think this is the third boss. Yeah, we only had two. We had Kamoshida and we had Madarame, and now we have Kaneshiro. Yeah, I'm tripping. Sorry. So the first two were actually public figures. You know, so it wasn't like we had to do any like digginess. No, they were already public figures. They already had a public image. In Kaneshiro's case, Kaneshiro's hidden. So he's not a public figure that had a secret life. He completely obscured and he was tucked away from society. He was hidden, literally hidden. And he was doing all this kind of behind the scenes kind of work that kept the city kind of going. But, you know, it just wasn't really, we don't really know that. It kind of points to how you have the how it is in life and how it is in the cities and how we got the drug game and all that. It's very similar to that whole theme. So yeah, it's like this, it kind of echoes that high priestess theme of like secret, obscure knowledge. And of course, it won't always be the case that where secret knowledge is pleasant, but it's just simply hidden information. Your biases do not matter. it really doesn't. But anyway, so now Kaneshiro's shadow manifests as Bael. Bael, I think, B-A-E-L. Okay, something I forgot to tell you. Well, I didn't really forget to tell you, but I just want to include it because people be acting real silly. The boss, shadow bosses, are based after goetic demons, as well as a lot of the monsters and just the regular, the things that we face and the other personas that I can absorb into my mask, a majority of them are all demons. So Kaneshiro's shadow manifests as Baal, and he turned into like a fly monster. And Madarame was Azazel, and Kaneshiro was Asmodeus? I don't know how you say it. So yes, there's a bunch of different layers in this game. That's why I love it so much. You have demonology, you have tarot, you have Jungian psychology, and then you just have this regular anime, which I love. So you have all these different facets of knowledge. You know, you have the collective unconsciousness, you have all these different themes, you have the personas, you have the anima, the animus, you have these different things. And on top of that, you have your regular social life in the game you're developing. As again, as I mentioned in the past, you have each particular confidant or each person has its own major arcana tarot associated with it. And if you spend time with each of those particular friends in the game, it builds different skills. And those, it's funny how those particular skills actually have wording or imagery associated under each particular major arcana. It's just pretty dope. Like, even the way you may meet someone, it could be like, so for instance, the one character I think is Mishima. His major arcana is the moon. And of course, you know, the moon deals with hidden things too, like hidden kind of in another sense. But he was one who kind of, he secretly knew that we are the Phantom Thieves, and he's working for us, but he's working for us in a more private sense. But I'll get into him later. But anyway, so it's just rather interesting. But yeah, so we defeated him, and it was a nice story. And now Makoto is on our team. She's doing our thing. So Kaneshiro's done. And then we learn at the end of, close towards the end of, well, once we beat him, there was this saying, one of them, I forget who said it, but he was like, you know, there's someone else that knows about all of you guys. And then he eventually died or whatever. Not died, but, you know, Kaneshiro, the real Kaneshiro's heart was changed and all this other kind of stuff happened. And then we heard it. Then we hear about this, what is it called? This kind of group called the Mejed. Now, for many of you who understand who the Mejed is, I don't yet, but I know that Mejed has some connections to Egypt. So I'm gonna take a look at that and whatnot. But I just wanted to pop on here and just provide an update on Persona 5 because I know y'all like it and I do too. And I just wanted to pop on here and just talk about it because it's been a minute. But I'm playing Persona 5 Royale and I'm starting over. I just defeated Kaneshiro. I'm moving on to Madarame. And then I'm going to get through Kaneshiro. I could just still play the regular Persona 5 and just continue on, but I don't want to miss that new storylining, so sorry. But I will be back with the next piece of the story, the next characters and all the other information, the Mejed and all what that means, and I can't wait. But yeah, guys, I'm out. Let me know what you think. Anything else you want me to cover about it, please. That's all folks. I'm out until such time. Peace.